Blog Talk Radio.
These go to 11.
On your body armor?
A peace symbol, sir.
Where'd you get it?
I don't remember, sir.
What is that you've got written on your helmet?
Born to kill, sir.
You write born to kill on your helmet and you wear a peace button. What's that supposed to be, some kind of sick joke?
No, sir.
What is it supposed to mean?
I don't know, sir.
You don't know very much, do you?
No, sir.
You better get your head and your ass wired together or I will take a giant shit on you.
Yes, sir.
Now answer my question or you'll be standing tall before the man.
I think I was trying to suggest something about the duality of man, sir.
The what?
The duality of man, the Jungian thing, sir.
Whose side are you on, son?
Our side, sir.
Don't you love your country?
Yes, sir.
But how about getting with the program? Why don't you jump on the team and come on in for the big win?
Yes, sir.
Son, all I've ever asked of my Marines is for them to obey my orders as they would the word of God. We are here to help the Vietnamese because inside every gook, there is an American trying to get out. It's a hardball world, son. We've got to try to keep our heads until this peace craze blows over.
Aye, aye, sir.
Yeah!
It's broke. It's broke. It's broke. It's broke. It's broke. It's broke.
Now, for the thousands in attendance and the millions watching around the world on HBO pay-per-view, ladies and gentlemen, from Mandalay Bay, Las Vegas, let's get ready to rumble!
One thing that puzzles me is the makeup of your audience. It seems to be predominantly young boys.
Well, it's a sexual thing, really. It's, aside from the identifying that the boys do with us, there's also like a reaction to the female to our music.
They're quite fearful.
Yeah,
that was my theory. They see us on stage with tight trousers. We've got, you know, armadillos in our trousers. I mean, it's really quite frightening, the size.
Yeah.
And they run screaming.
No butt pirates.
With the player.
Come on, live, direct from hell. Mono.
But hey, enough of my yakking. What do you say? Let's boogie.
Well, thank you, Marty DeBerge, and welcome to a special edition of the Hard Rocket Sports Show live from High Atop Romero Court Studios in beautiful, almost scenic Monroe, New Jersey, where we are weathering out this tremendous storm. Bullshit. Anyway, we're bored to death, and I'm going to bring on the man who brings up the light of my life. He's the sun in the sky. He is the moon at night. My partner in crime is the Jeff Nowinski. Hefe, what's happening, brother?
Nothing, dude. You're killing me with all these fucking references this morning. Lollipop Kids, Butt Pirate, Derek Carr and his broken leg. It don't get much better than that. I can hang up now and be happy that I called.
Well, you got to tell you, we do have some fun here on the Hot Rocket Sports Show. So I figured I'd play a little medley of your favorite stuff on the show.
And I was listening, man, so I got to hear it all. Thank God.
Yes, you did. And like the show says, we were bored and sitting home, so we said, let's go on for an hour and have some fun. No script. We'll just open the newspapers, throw some stuff out there, and have a little fun. So I figured, Jeff and I figured, let's do it. Let's get in there and do a few things. So I see some people.
I personally have two things that I got to get off my chest today. One, I got a special what if segment for you.
Really? Special edition?
Yes.
Nice.
I'll give you a hint.
Okay.
I may get some backlash on this one, but it involves ice. Okay. That's all I'm going to say now until it's time to let it out.
Okay.
And then the other thing is something that I was just involved in on Facebook that I seen you liked or commented on, which was somebody saying that they wanted to see the Jets sign Jay Cutler, and I'd really like to talk about that for a few minutes because I don't like it. But I know that we said it was going to be strictly a music show, so it is what it is, but I got to get this out of my
head. It's unscripted. We can do whatever we want. But listen, before you and I get into it, I promise I pick up the show's executive producer, the man behind the curtain, the guy who...
Do not arouse the wrath of the great and powerful Oz. I said come back tomorrow.
If you are really great and powerful, you'll keep your promises.
Do you presume to criticize the great Oz? You ungrateful creatures, think yourselves lucky that I'm giving you audience tomorrow instead of 20 years from now.
Oh.
The great Oz has spoken.
Oh.
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
Yes, and he's our man behind the curtain, the one and only, the sexiest man out in show business, Mr. Nick Marino, joins us for a few minutes. What's up, brother?
Oh, my God. I tell you, Jeff, you're absolutely right. The man is sitting there today behind his desk, high atop the Hard Rock and Sports Studios in Monroe Township, and he's just punching numbers and buttons, and he's a... fucking radio genius.
I'm telling you.
I'm so excited. You know, I know right now, I do have a Today in Rock History for this special snow day. It's very short. If you guys want, I could do it because there's some beautiful things in there. What do you say?
Go for it. I say bring it on, Big Sexy.
All right, my friends, here it is. Today in Rock History, March 14th, the Hard Rock and Sports Snow Show is going live on this snowy Tuesday in New York and New Jersey. We're bored. We're home. We're alone. And everyone loves hearing Big Sexy when he's home naked by the fireplace talking rock history. I know Jeff certainly does. So here we go. Born today in rock history, Tommy Florio's secret music obsession. Born in 1983, Taylor Hanson from Hanson. In 1963, Mike Muir from Suicidal Tendencies. In 1951, Spanish entertainer Charo is born. Now, you got to remember something about Charo. She had a much longer name, and her name, original name, was Maria del Rosario Mercedes Pilar Martinez Molina Baez Gansis, and that's the fucking truth. In 1950, Rick Dees was born, and in 1933, Quincy Jones was born. And some real things that are like today in music history, notable top stories. In 1988, weeks after Johnny Cash's Unchained wins the Grammy for Best Country Album, his producer, Rick Rubin, takes out a full-page ad in Billboard with a photo of the singer giving the middle finger along with the text, American Recordings and Johnny Cash would like to acknowledge the Nashville music establishment and country radio for your support. Fucking guy, man. Just gave the finger right out there. Beautiful. In 1972, Carole King's Tapestry takes the Album of the Year at the Grammy Awards, another Tommy Florio favorite. In 2016, Sony pays $750 million to Michael Jackson's estate for the King of Pop's half ownership of Sony ATV Music. This is where that guy fucking stole 250 Lennon and McCartney songs. Do you guys remember that?
Oh,
and
sure.
I'm telling you, to this day, Michael Jackson's estate still retains rights to the song, so this guy made a killing. And all he does is cry about that he's got no fucking money, the estate's got no money. Bullshit, that's all I got to say. And this concludes today's live segment of Today in Music History by the Hard Rock and Sports Team. It was researched, written, edited, narrated by Nick Big Sexy Marino, and that's a wrap, folks. Have a great musical snow day.
Yeah. First off, I want to take a little umbrage with you. I know you're busy, but last week I was. This week it's Hanson. Last week it was the Village People. I want to go on record as saying I'm a Hard Rock and Sports guy.
Listen, dude. These people that listen to you on Hard Rock and Sports, in this, I mean, first of all, it needs to be said for the people that are listening all over the world right now. We got people listening in the Netherlands. We got people listening in Italy. We got people listening. Everywhere you could, even in Iceland, for crying out loud, there are certain people that like to throw numbers and names and places around. We don't want to mention who they are. I'm not saying they're fucking full of shit, but possibly it could be. But people need to know that there's a sensitive side of Tommy Florio.
Yeah, that's just the silliest and stupidest thing I've ever heard anybody say when people.
Now you're using things on me too, like that.
Well, you know,
I'm trying to think, but nothing happens.
So what's up, Jeff? What are you doing right now? I thought you were going to be like shoveling snow in fucking parks.
Me?
Yes, Jeff. You?
Oh,
yeah, you.
No, that didn't work out as planned.
Didn't work out, huh?
No.
Well, I tell you.
Hey, Nick, while we are
at home today on this snow-filled day. It's amazing, isn't it?
Hey, Nick, while you're on the phone, let's talk a little bit real fast about the guests that are coming up on the show. We got a whole bunch of big guests coming down the pike. I know I just put it up on the Facebook page on the website for everybody to see. Marty Appel's down the road. Got Kenny Arnoff. J.J. McGuigan's calling in Thursday night. We got a whole bunch of great guests coming in. I saw some new ones that you gave out. So, you know, is there anybody that you could tell people that is close that you want to let up a little morsel for people?
You mean you want me to do like a teaser? Is that what
little
you're saying?
Tease,
you're
just,
me to do like a
little
teaser?
Little tease, maybe.
Listen, I'm telling you, brother, there are some names out there that are unbelievable. I mean, there are some people that are coming on this show. Like, you know, I don't want to say, you know, listen, CC DeVille is coming on eventually. I know CC for a while. You know, we grew up in the same area of Brooklyn. You know, he immediately, once he became a big chef, forgot who I was, but that's beside the point. Guys like Corky Lang, Leslie West, you know, we're trying to get back Joe Lincana, you know, talking to his people is like talking to Jesus Christ. But we're going to get through to some of these guys, and we're going to get them on the show. You know, we got some other really big names coming on, some I can't really mention because they're so huge, it may shake the whole foundation of Monroe Township. So, yeah, I got to, like, hold them in.
Wow. Really?
It's unbelievable, you know. Yeah. I don't want to say anything. I'm
not
you know the names.
Well, I'm looking forward to it, brother. And listen, from now on Thursday nights, I think you got to call in for a few minutes in the early part of the show and kind of go over what's happening, what's going on in the future. You know, I think it's a nice little touch for people to hear the big sexy voice live and in person once in a while.
Well, you know, I can't say that I disagree with you, but I am a very busy man, you know. I mean, Jeff could tell you, you know, he knows that I'm a very busy guy. But my fans are calling on a regular basis and saying, Nick, when are you going on the show live? We love nothing more than to hear your voice, because all we get to hear on that station is that little guy that calls in every once in a while with that voice that you can, like, scrape fucking chalkboard, nails on a chalkboard, but hey, you know, who am I to judge,
pirate. You mean the half man?
The brain! The brain!
That guy?
Yeah, that guy. Yeah, that's the guy.
The half man. We like to call him the half man.
Okay, the half man. That's it.
Well,
I don't know him as well as you guys, so I feel, you know, I don't know if I should really call him that.
You're going to be as well, just like the rest of us. But you know what, guys? Everybody knows about April 1st, a Hard Rock and Sports 4 live shows down at Phoenix Studios. We're opening the door. And one of the benefits of coming down to hang out with us and watch the show being filmed is Big Sexy will be in the room doing his thing, producing the show. So everybody got to come down April 1st, 10 o'clock to 4 o'clock at Phoenix Studios. Come on down, watch an episode of the Hard Rock and Sports show be filmed for 8 Days Productions and Staten Island Cable, Channel 24. So I hope everybody comes down. Big Sexy in the room with me and Jeff. You can't get much sexier than that.
Oh, I'm telling you. I mean, you know, Jeff's always worried about it. You guys have been talking about, like, worried about people actually seeing your faces and worried about if you guys will translate to the TV screen. You know what? You guys are very, very good-looking people. Personally, you know, I find you both very attractive. I don't want to really get too much into it. But you know, it's unbelievable. I think we need to show the people that. Plus, we're going to be drinking heavily, so I think it's good for people to come on down.
Yes, we will be.
Hello, Cleveland! Hello, Cleveland!
So, yeah, we won't be in Cleveland. We won't be in Cleveland, but come on down to Phoenix Studios on April 1st. Doors open at 10 o'clock. First show starts filming at 11. I hope everybody comes down, and we'll talk more about the benefit and all that good shit. But we wanted to get Big Sexy on and get a special edition of his This Week in Rock History. We know he loves to get his voice out to the people.
Of course.
So we're happy to have him.
Gentlemen, I'm gonna get back to you know, my very, very busy schedule of the day, and I just wanted to come on and say hello. I know this is a special snow day. We don't get to do this too often.
Nope.
But enjoy the show, guys, and I'll talk to you all soon, all right?
You got it, Nick. Thanks for calling, pal. Talk to you off the air.
You got it, brother.
Hey, get us some guests, man. Get us some more guests. Let's go.
I'm working on it. You know, we got big guys like J.J. McGuigan coming on, all right? So take it easy.
Hey, J.J.'s big time, baby.
I'll talk to you guys later.
See you later.
Bye.
That's Big Sexy Nick Marino. So, Jeff, let's get into it, man. Me and you for about 40 minutes. Let's. What do you want to do? I'm gonna turn it over. What do you want to do? What do you want to start with?
Dude, I gotta talk about the thing involved with Facebook where people want to actually see Jay Cutler get signed by the Jets. Why in God's name do you want somebody that the Bears threw away?
Well, here's the way I look at it, Jeff. I think the guy's got all the talent in the world. I think he's a cancer. You know, on a team right now that has some issues in the locker room with Richardson fighting with Marshall last year. And it seems to be a lot of friction there. I think he's the last guy you want. I agree with you. I think that's a very bad move by the Jets. It is.
You got other guys, Simeon Osweiler, the guy that just got released by Philly, RG3. Plus, if Romo gets released and he signs somewhere, that's liable to start another wave of quarterbacks that get released and movement. So you don't know who's going to eventually be available to the Jets. Nobody's knocking on these guys' doors that are out now. So I think that they're better off just sitting back and waiting and seeing who comes available and who fits their needs best right now.
I got to tell you, Jeff, I was a little surprised. No, I'm not surprised by it because I think if you're the Jets, you got to bring everybody in, see what the best deal you can make. I mean, I think you want to put the best quarterback out there you can because we all know with a bad quarterback, that can be a very ugly season. You know, I just don't know what it does to your team chemistry. The guy's been a team killer since Denver. So, I mean, I just don't know the thought process behind it. But, there's some names out there. I mean, think about it, Jeff. Who do you want? Do you want McNown? Do you want Chase Daniels, who just got released by the Eagles? He's a guy who started 2 years two games in an eight-year career. Who do you want? That's the question of the day.
That's just it, dude. There's nobody there. There's nobody that's going to take you to the next step. There's no reason to take a 34-year-old quarterback because I wouldn't even consider him a bridge quarterback at this point in time.
No, absolutely
just,
not.
You need somebody to play that position, so they're just going to grab whoever comes their way. I mean, at least go after one of these guys that are younger, that has an upside. You know, do something. If you're not going to go get anybody, then announce that Petty is going to be Hackenberg and Petty are going to hash it out for the starting job come September.
Yeah. Yeah, again, at this point, here's the thing. You know, if you're the Jets, you really just got to come to the focus that you either need to draft your next quarterback, build one of the two guys on your roster, or find somebody young that you think you can develop, but I think you have to face the fact that you're going to be bad for 2 years. Until you find that quarterback, until you find a couple more pieces on the offensive line, I think you're going to be bad for 2 years. I think they have to come to that realization, and I don't think they have. I think they're fighting that realization right now.
Well, listen, anybody should know that they're not going to contend this year. And
yeah,
all they're doing is wasting their time if they think that they're going to.
Yeah, well, I can't argue that point.
You can stockpile what you can and try to rebuild the team through youth.
Yeah.
That's all you could do.
No, I agree. And I think after the 10 and 6 season 2 years ago, I think they tried to go for it last year. I thought that I really do. I really believe that their intention was signing Forte and having bringing back Fitzpatrick and playing with that defense that they did. I think their thought process, let's go for it. Maybe we catch lightning in a bottle 2 years in a row. Theoretically, Jeff, the year before, had they made the playoffs with that team, had they won that last game in Buffalo, I really do think that they could have been a tough team in the playoffs with that defense. It didn't work out, and then all that bad shit just snowballed into this season. So, but I think that was their intent. I think now you have to strip it down and build it back up the right way through the draft. And get themselves a young quarterback they can build around. But this tells me a lot when you've drafted two guys high in the draft the last 2 years and neither one of them are your guy.
Yeah, and nobody says anything about them either.
Yeah, I mean Hackenberg, I liked him his freshman year, and I think that the change in coaching at Penn State hurt him and his development. But he's nowhere near ready from what I saw. I mean, people said the same thing about Dak Prescott, but he was playing behind an all-world offensive line with a great running back. I mean, at that point, anybody could have did what he did last year. And I'm not a fan of Dak Prescott's pro career at this point. I think he's overblown, but that's a whole other conversation. But I don't know where your Jets go right now, Jeff. I don't like the Cutler thing from a team standpoint. I don't like the move.
No, but speaking of change of conversation, there was another thing I wanted to bring up with you.
Sure.
Which will lead into this week's or this special segment pertaining to snow and ice with the what if. But
go for it.
Let's talk about a couple things, albums that may be coming out this year and bands that you would like to see mm-hmm. release an album this year.
Ooh, go ahead.
Now, I heard that Priest was going to be releasing a new album soon.
Correct.
Just getting into the studio and getting started on the release of another album. What do you feel about that, man?
Well, I got to tell you, you know, I loved their last album. I thought their last album was amazing. I thought it was a lot like Old Priest. I mean, yes, listen, nothing's Old Priest, but it was really a hard album. I thought Richie Faulkner brought a little more life into the band. I mean, I miss KK, and you know, he's part of one of those guys I wish would come back and finish it up. But you know, Redeemer of Souls was a great album. I thought it was a great album. I'm psyched they brought back the same producer. Tom Allum is back, so I'm looking forward to Priest putting out a new album this year. I got to be honest with you. I know you weren't crazy about the last one.
It was all right, but you know how I feel about that. These guys can't capture what they once were able to do. And I'm not going to say that it's a complete waste of time, but when it comes to a band like Priest, getting new material from Priest is not that important to me. I'd rather just see them go out there and do the classics. But you just mentioned K.K. Downing, which has a question for you. Does K.K. Downing rejoin Priest if they were to say that this is their last tour? Do you see K.K. Downing joining forces with Priest again and going out on a goodbye tour?
I don't know, Jeff. I mean, the answer to me was if they officially said that and said we're going to go out, I don't know. When I spoke to him once before and I got the pleasure of talking to K.K. Downing, you know, he didn't close the door. I think he just basically said, I don't want to continue this on forever, and at some point I want to just walk away. I would say, to be honest with you, I think that's the only way to do it. But it doesn't seem like the Priest train is going to stop anytime soon. I mean, those guys are in their 60s, and obviously except for Richie Faulkner. And it seems like it's going to be another album, another tour, and I would guess you're going to get another one after that because there's no talk of them retiring. So, you know, I would say if in the near future they retired, you would probably see KK back to finish it up. At least they should.
I would say that I would want to see them go out with KK Downing. After watching Black Sabbath make their farewell tour, the last thing I would want to do is see another band go out incomplete with as much as I enjoyed those shows with Sabbath, don't get me wrong, but I just would not want to see a band like Priest go out without K.K. Downing. I mean, K.K. Downing was almost next to Halford, the face of Priest, for how many years? And to see them go out on, you know, and retire without him, it would be a sad thing.
I mean, I agree, Jeff. I think, again, I have no problem with K.K. retiring. I have no problem with them. And, you know, one of the things we're going to do on the TV show version of Hard Rock and Sports is talk about bands that change members and continue on, and we're going to give I'm sure a pro and con on that. But yeah, to me, I love what Priest did in Redeemer of Souls. Keep it coming. I think if they can top that, capture that sound and feel, that was a great. That was a great album. It's nothing's Hellbent for Leather or Stained Glass or even British Steel, but you know, that was a great album. I really mean that. I enjoy listening to that album. I still listen to it.
Well, let's start to transition towards this week's What If. So I got to ask you, how's the weather over there?
Jeff, a lot of snow and amazingly enough, a lot of ice.
Yeah, same here, man. Same here, a lot of ice. Not a day to be out driving, right?
Nope, not a day to be out driving. A nice day to be sitting in the house listening to two guys talk about sports and music.
There you go. And if somebody wasn't driving back in September of 1986, namely the Metallica tour bus, maybe we would still have Cliff Burton with us today. Wouldn't that be correct?
That would be correct. Cliff might not have fallen out of his bunk and died.
That's right. And so that leads to this week's What If question. What if Metallica didn't have that horrendous crash and have their bass player get killed? What happens now?
Wow. Oh, boy. You know what, Jeff? Here's my problem with it. I liked Newstead as probably as much as I like Cliff Burton. So I my biggest thing is when Newstead left, I think it took a severe drop after Newstead. So I'll be honest with you, the Cliff Burton one, I will tell you that I don't think Metallica would have changed all that much. You know, I got some Metallica.
Now, Metallica, to me, really didn't change. When Newstead came in the band for Injustice for All.
Nope.
But the Black Album, they changed. Do you see that Black Album coming out with Cliff Burton on bass instead of Jason Newstead? Or do you think they would have been more of a thrash band longer?
You know, that's a great question. I can't swear to know how much influence he had in the band as a songwriter or melody guy. So I'm going to say that Cliff Burton's passing really had nothing to do with the eventual bouginess of Metallica. I like the Black Album, but there's a severe difference between everything they did before and everything from that point on. And I think the bottom line was, I think it's completely Lars and his wacky bouginess. And Kirk Hammett, too. I think they all decided that they all got too cool. No, and I think that was a problem. So, no, I don't think Cliff Burton's passing would have affected Metallica in any way, shape, or form. It's sad to say because he was a great bass player and the sound was amazing. I just think it was the other guys. So I have to tell you that I don't think there's any change from what happened. He had stayed and they had not brought in Newstead.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. I think they would have stayed the same. And I think that Lars and the rest of the band, I mean, Hetfield was kind of like the last one to really turn over. It was definitely Kirk Hammett and Lars that became rock stars when the Black Album came out. It was disgusting. You know, and Jason Newstead was kind of in the background with that. And I think that had a lot to do with him leaving the band at the time that he did. But Hetfield, he's since changed his ways a little bit too. And I don't think it was for the better, to be honest with you.
No, I agree. And you know, here's the thing, that they always portrayed themselves as the hardest working guys. And yet they went so many years between albums that I understood the whole Napster thing and people, but it's like they just stopped working and they became this, I don't know, grown up bougie band that just thinks they are above everybody else. And it's kind of hard for me to say I like Metallica at this point in my life, you know?
Yeah, I hear you, dude. I agree 1,000% with you. You know, I do disagree with what you just said, though, as far as them being the hardest working band, because just because they didn't put on an album, those guys did tour a lot. I mean, they toured that album to
shit. Yeah, I know, Jeff, but Jeff, you know what? There's something to be said about, again, it's great to get, and again, maybe this is our pro and con, and I can't wait to do this on TV with you, but I'm a big believer that when you're working, you're making new stuff and you're trying to just take it to another level. You know, I look at the Maiden guys and there's always new albums and it always, you know, it's gotten progressive. Is it the best stuff they've ever done? I don't know, but they're always out there and you get a glimpse of some good stuff here and there. I just feel like with Metallica, it was like, screw it. If we can't make every single nickel on you, we don't want to play. And we'll just play concerts and play our old stuff. And while that's great, I just feel like it's a cop out. And to go 10 years without putting out an album, I think is not true to who you really should be.
Oh, dude, believe me, I agree. I've been running around saying that to people for the last year and a half. Ever since there was talk of their new album coming out. And I think it's too little too late. I think they lost a lot of people. You know, the Napster thing could have been overlooked because now there's other ways to do, you know, file sharing. I could email you a song. So, I mean, it's never going to stop. And I understand their point at the time. But, I mean, as far as stealing music, listen, if I make you a CD off of a CD that I own, essentially we're both stealing music. I'm stealing it from the artist and I'm giving it to you. Now you have stolen property, right? Wouldn't you say that?
Sure, absolutely. Say this is when we were kids. We used to make cassettes of each. When they made, came out with dual cassettes. We used to make dual cassettes of albums and shit. So, yeah, that's been going on for 100 years.
Exactly. Exactly. I agree with you 1,000%. And if anything, you're reaching an audience. You're already making money hand over fist. What difference does it make? You'll never spend everything you got. What do you care if a couple hundred thousand songs get sent away for free? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're still going to make the play.
Yeah, I mean, if anything, that's it. That you just hit it, Jeff. I mean, that's the end result is you want people to, you know, it was always, to me, it was always about put out an album so that you can go tour and make a lot of money off the tour. You know, I'm sure people made money off the albums and all that back in the day. But the bottom line is, you know, most people want to see the band play out, play live. And years ago, you know, it's not like nowadays where guys like Def Leppard go out for 3-4 years in a row without a new album and just play the old stuff. You know, back in the day and up until a few years ago, you had to put out a new album to go tour. You know, and I just, that's the problem I have. Put it out there and then go out there and beat it to death and let people hear it. I don't know. I just, you know, I get turned off to shit like that. I really do. And there's a lot of bands who put out stuff today, you know, and I just don't see how, you know, a band like Metallica stopped doing it.
Yeah, I agree, dude. I agree 110%. It's a shame, but this is it. This is the way it is nowadays. But speaking of new music, and I don't mean to overtake everything today, but I just
No, please. Go for it, bro. Go for it. We're just having fun. No script. Just go for it.
If you could pick a couple bands, who would you like to see put out new music 2017? Let me put it this way. What albums would you like to see come out in 2017?
Well, I'm gonna take Maiden off the list because they put out something recently. So I want to say, and I'm gonna forget the Priest because we already know they're putting something out. Let's think about that for a second. What band would I like to hear put out something now? That's a really great question. Well, you're going to hate this one, but I would love to hear a new Poison album. I have to be honest with you. I would love to hear something new from Poison. I know you hate that. I know. But I just, you know, those guys wrote so many hits. You know, I know when I say hits, most of them are radio hits or hits with the women. And I was no fan back then, but I would love to hear something new from those guys. I know they're getting out for the first time in 10 years as a headliner and playing and going out on tour. So that would be a band I would love to hear do something new nowadays. So that's one. I gotta be honest. I'd love to hear a new Sabbath album. I gotta be honest with you. I would love to see them say, you know what, we're not going to tour. Here's one last Sabbath album. We're going out the door on this. I would love to see that with Bill Ward.
Well, unfortunately, I don't think we're ever going to see an album with Bill Ward, but I do agree with you on a Sabbath album. But what I would like to see is maybe call something Best of the End, put out some of the best music. I'm sure they record a lot of that, those tours, those shows.
Oh, yeah, sure.
You know, record, put out some recordings of those shows. Let us hear some of those last songs, you know, that you're not going to hear live again with those guys.
Oh,
I think that would be a good album to come out.
Yeah. I'll give you another one I'd like to see. I'd like to see a new Van Halen album. I know it's another band you probably don't want to hear anything new from, but I would love to hear a new Van Halen album. I like the last album. I would love to hear it again.
I really don't know the current state of Van Halen with everything that's going on, so it's kind of hard for me to say that I would want to hear a new Van Halen album. Their last album, to me, was an album written by middle-aged rock stars that maybe just, I don't know, they had to put out an album to justify a tour, maybe something of that nature. But it wouldn't bother me if they put one out or didn't put one out, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, I think the last album, I think the problem I had with the last album was they wrote a lot of the stuff back in the 80s, and then the current edition of Van Halen tried to add to and clean it up, and I think that, you know, it really had a weird weird texture to it, the album, if you want to use texture as a word for music. But I enjoyed it. I did. I mean, I know there's some stuff going on. I know that Eddie's kid has got his own band now, and he's playing guitar in another band. And so I don't know. Again, I would love to see that. I would love to see Michael Anthony come back. But again, I would love to see Chickenfoot come out with another album. I love the first two Chickenfoot albums. So I would love to see something from Chickenfoot. Sammy and Joe Satch. And the only problem I got with Satch is too much sound effects on the guitar. But, man, what a great guitar player. So though that's another band I would love to see something from this year.
If I had to pick one, I'd say I would love to see Alice in Chains put out a new album, but a real classic dirt-style Alice in Chains album. Something that was very heavy. The last album only had really one heavy song on it, a lot of more mellow-type stuff. I'd like to see them put out a heavier album with William Duvall and, you know, see exactly what they can do. You know, it adds another dimension now that William Duvall plays a guitar. I don't think Wayne Staley played guitar for Alice in Chains at all on any of their live shows. So now they got two guitar players going.
Okay.
You know, I would just like to see what they can do. You know, something a little bit heavier, a little bit more the style of old Alice in Chains. That's what I'd like to see.
Yeah, again, I would really love to see some heavy stuff. I mean, like I said, that's why, you know, I liked Book of Souls from Maiden. But it wasn't heavy. It's very progressive. I mean, I know you listened to it. You weren't thrilled with it. You liked the single off of it, but you weren't thrilled with it. But the thing I liked about the Priest album over the Maiden album was it was just a metal album, and I think that's what I want to see. You know, the truth is, I would like to see some sort of new Ozzy album, but something in the classic sense. You know, and Red Dragon Cartel with Jake Healy. I love Jake Healy as a guitar player. Completely underrated. I would love to see. I know they're working on something. I don't know if it's coming out this year or next, but I would love to see that.
Didn't they have some problems, Red Dragon Cartel? Some kind of, I don't want to say legal or personnel problems, but they had some kind of issue that was going on.
I think so. With their singer, I think. Yeah. Well, no, the singer I think had like a visa problem. Like he was from Canada and he couldn't get in and had to get a new singer to replace him. If I remember that right, I'm pretty sure that was, I think that was it. But Staten Island's own Anthony Esposito was the bass player. In fact, I've been following the album being recorded up at his studio in Pennsylvania. So I'm looking forward to those guys getting out a new album. And Jeff, we bring up Jake Lee, and I don't want to get off the subject because I think it's a good one. But I think Jakey Lee is one of the most underrated guitar players ever. You know, a lot of people talk about, you know, the certain guitar players. And I think one guy that maybe people put in there as an all-time great is Zakk Wylde. And I think Zakk Wylde is a great guitar player. I think Jakey Lee is as good as anybody and completely underrated. What's your thought?
I think that out of all of the guitar players that Ozzy had, that Jakey Lee was the second best guitar player right after Randy Rhoads.
Yeah.
He came in, stepped in, he came out of nowhere because I don't even remember his name being mentioned or anything until he was with Ozzy. He went on the Bark of the Moon album, which really wasn't the best Ozzy album that he put out. Then Ozzy kind of, I don't want to say went pop metal, but he kind of calmed down a little bit, had a little bit of a more commercial edge with a shot. The album was Shot in the Dark. What was the name of that album? I can't think of it off the top of my head. It was the fourth or fifth album, the one with the girl on the cover and Ozzy as a demon. The Shot in the Dark. What was the other song that was on there? It was a very radio friendly song. It was a good album, but it's just not what you were expecting to hear from Ozzy. And then Jake left and went to Badlands. And a lot of times when somebody plays one style of music and then they go to another band, you expect the same style. And that wasn't the case with Badlands.
Was it Ultimate Sin?
Yes, that was it. Ultimate Sin. And that was the name of the song I was looking for, too.
Yep, that's it. There was no Ultimate Sin. That's the name of the album. Yeah. You know, I think that Ozzy, when he switched from Jake, I love Jake's playing. I don't think Bark in the Moon is the greatest album I've ever heard. It's a fun album to listen to sometimes, but I think it goes straight downhill from there. I think after that you get a couple of decent songs. There's nothing like the first two albums. So, but yeah, and I like Badlands. I really do. I think Jake did his best, some of his best work with Badlands. I don't know if you're a fan.
I'm not a big fan. I like it. I could listen to it sometimes, but I think that that's the real Jake E. Lee that we're hearing.
Yeah,
there.
Sure.
Like, I think that was his forte, that kind of bluesy rock, kind of like a Zeppelin kind of style of music.
Yeah.
So that you can't fault the man for doing what he wanted to do. But, you know, I think the problem with that Ozzy album, Ultimate Sin, was that's when Ultimate Sin, Bark at the Moon, that's when the music videos first started to come out. And everybody started doing music videos. Do you feel as though that some of these music videos hurts the image of some of these bands?
Oh, my God. I think while MTV was considered a great thing for some of these bands, and obviously launched so many of them, I think Ozzy is a perfect example, Jeff, of how MTV killed a career. Not killed a career. Let me not say that. I mean, that's wrong to say with Ozzy. Changed his musical direction. Because the first two albums were metal legend. Then all of a sudden MTV came out, and Ozzy started wearing eyeliner and poofing up his hair, and it got more TV and radio friendly. And I think Ozzy's career took a whole turn to the right. And it changed music, obviously. So I think MTV helped because it brought out our music so we could see it. But I think it killed it to a certain extent, too.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. I think that the people that started making videos wanted to make TV-friendly videos out of some of these songs and everything else. And I think that the artists made songs or recorded songs that were able to be made into videos. And I think a lot of that hurt some of these people. And I think when you look at a song like Bark at the Moon, if you hear the song itself isn't bad. But when you watch the video, you're like, really? You know, bad acting and everything else. It was just, I don't know. I think they'd have been better off without it, to tell you the truth.
Well, again, I agree with you. I think that's a big thing, Jeff. I agree wholeheartedly. Like I said, I think it helped launch a genre with the hair metal and tons of bands who were probably not the most musically talented, but I guess aesthetically pleasing to the ladies. You know, bands like Stryper, who I love and think is a great band, but I'm saying bands like that and Skid Row and Warrant, without MTV, they might not have gotten that next level. Yet I think bands like Ozzy, and I'm trying to think of a couple more off the top of my head, maybe even Metallica to a certain extent. You know, also they started seeing them on TV and their images changed. And I think to a certain extent it softened them. And I think it hurt. I think it hurt metal in the long run being on MTV. We loved metal because it was a cult. You had to go dig to go find it. You know, the minute it became kind of popular and threw it on TV and your parents kind of accepted it, I think it became – that's what took away from metal at the time.
Yeah, some of it, without a doubt. But, you know, we've talked about this in the past, how different genres of metal branched out and kind of – there were so many – you know, what started off as heavy metal, hair metal, doom metal, thrash metal, speed metal, like all of these different genres of metal were coming out now. And I think a lot of that had to do, like you say, with the videos, because now you can put a face to the music. You know, in the past, you would just get an album and see the guy's picture on the back of the album, if they even put their picture on the album. So sometimes you wouldn't even know what these guys look like.
Yeah.
And it was just odd to see, like, you know, some of these people now acting out stories in these videos and stuff. And it was cool when it happened for us. But when you look back at it, you got to wonder, like, what damage it might have done to some of these guys' careers.
Oh, absolutely. And, again, there's a special edition of the Hard Rock and Sports Show, 347-826-9934. Jeff and I are just killing some time today on a snowy day here in the New York, New Jersey area. So I hope you guys are listening in and having some fun with us. And, we're not going to take it too much longer, but we wanted to kill some time and we never get a chance to kind of just wing it. I'm a little anal that way, and I script everything. But today we're just winging it. We're just talking. And I think the MTV did thing, Jeff, is something that one of these days we got to explore a little more in depth. I'd like to see, you know, what the album sales were. You know, think about this. Before MTV, We never heard our stuff on the radio, right? You could never hear Maiden or Priest. You know, maybe on SOU on a Saturday night, 11 o'clock was about the only time. So you had to go buy this stuff to hear it. The minute MTV started playing this stuff, I think it was there was less options to go buy. There was less need to go buy some of the stuff, I think. Do you think that there's a correlation, or am I kind of going out of bounds on that one?
I wouldn't say you're going out of bounds, but you know what? It also, they would push a single off an album and then make a video of it. So now, if you listen to the radio, you would hear the single. When you went on MTV or Saturday Night Videos or whatever the show was called, you would see the video for the album. So, like, a lot of these songs you would hear and see on radio and TV now. Like, it was a new thing for us. And then when the first one of us got cable, and now you had cable and you were able to actually watch MTV and VH1 with all these other music shows that they were showing videos, it was something different for us. But
yeah,
maybe what it did is it pushed a single too much, and it prevented people from buying an album and catching on with some really good stuff. You know, because in the past, we talked about that. You would buy an album. If you didn't like it, you tell me, well, you know, there's a couple good songs, but why don't you listen to it? Maybe you like it. Maybe I would like it, and vice versa. But now it would be like they would shove that single down your throat so much, it seemed. Because if you remember when MTV came out, whenever a new Bon Jovi video came out, it was always on. An Aerosmith video was always on. Guns N' Roses. Those were the videos. It was like the only three or four videos they would show a day. Remember that?
Yeah. Oh, sure. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
And then Metallica did their first video, and it seemed like once an hour you could watch the Metallica video. It would be on constantly.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah, I think to a certain extent it took the mystique away, you know, back then. Like you watch these bands, and again, it's the evolution of the industry, so you could never stop it, but it was so much more fun, I think. My memory serves me. It was much more fun to run around and try to find the album and play it and hear it and just kind of think what these guys were really like. And the video kind of took all that away, and you kind of got to know who these guys were. And it was almost too much after a while. And, you know, it's a little weird. It's a little weird, but, you know, so much. It's a great conversation. I'd like to explore that down the line in more of a thing. But I want to ask you a couple things before we get out of touch here. Do anything on this Metallica bringing the first off? Sammy Hagar says he would reunite with Van Halen, but not for money. I think that would be the biggest mistake they ever made, bringing Sammy back. And I don't want to see that.
Well, what if he doesn't want to do it for money? What does he want to do? He thinks he's going to get an apology from somebody?
I'm guessing. I didn't read the article, but I'm going to guess you, Jeff, that he's looking for some sort of an apology from the Van Halen boys, and I don't think he's going to get it. Nor do I think he's going to get any money. Nor does he need it. But I think that's something I thought in 85 was the greatest thing ever, and I will tell you that I think that's one of the biggest fails of all time. You know, like you think about guys who should, you know, like, you know, that's like the first supergroup. If you really think about it, Van Halen bringing in Sammy Hagar is one of the first supergroups of our generation. And it was an epic failure. It really was a very not a great collaboration.
Well, you know what, dude? When they came on, when they came together, Sammy Hagar, he had a couple songs from his solo career. He came from Montrose. And they did some heavy music. And then next thing you know, it just became like your mother and father's Van Halen.
Yeah.
And that's not what we used to hearing. And it kind of took away what we liked and what we wanted to hear.
Well, don't forget, Jeff. Wait. Don't forget, Eddie was already headed that way with 1984, with all the keyboards and synthesizers. I don't think it helped bring in Sammy, because you're right. Early Van Halen and Sammy Hagar's Montrose and his solo stuff was pretty heavy. The surprising came out of it with Ballad Van Halen.
Yeah, I hear you. I agree with you. But you know what? I think that every band at that time was starting. I mean, Maiden even used synthesizers. Priest used synthesizers for a couple albums. So
But it's Eddie Van Halen. It's Eddie Van Halen. I don't want to hear Eddie, sweeping down the keys, like Stevie Wonder. I want to hear a little Eruption. I want to hear a little, some string bending and some whammy bars and some dives, So I think that was a classic. And I tell you another thing I wanted to bring up to you. Do you remember when we first heard Def Leppard? I can think about the first time I heard them, but the first thing I heard was On Through the Night. And I thought they were in the vein of metal. I thought they were a metal band, like most people, I think.
Yeah.
We thought. And then all of a sudden, High and Dry was a little departure, but once it got to Pyromania, it was like, holy cow, these guys, what is this? I think they're the most over, and they would tell you themselves they're not a metal band, and they didn't think they never were a metal band. But yet, how did they get lumped into the metal world with the priests and the maidens and Saxon and all of that? How do you think that happened? The look?
When those metal bands that you just mentioned first started to come to the forefront and Def Leppard came with them, I disagree with even their own assessment of their own music. Their first album was metal. You listen to the song Wasted, it's a kind of a classic metal album. It's not a rock album. It doesn't sound like
I agree.
Or some of their other ballads or softer stuff. It was a heavy metal album. And then they kind of slowly got a little slower. They went through some lineup changes. They had a lot of hard luck. So, that'll change a band without a doubt. But, nowadays, their heyday is gone. It's over with. They're another album where another band that they could put out an album, but is anybody going to even take their album seriously at this point in time? I think it went too long between albums.
Yeah, that's a band I have to tell you. There are a few bands that I still, like I said, Warren put out a good album the last time with Rockaholic. They're coming out with another one. The new Quiet Riot, I don't really care for. I listened to it. It's an okay album. I thought what I heard of so far for Grinding Wheel by Overkill is okay. I will tell you that if you ask me the one band from our heyday that's still out there kicking that I would least like to hear music from, it's Def Leppard. I think that's another band that's a pompous, just bunch of jerk-offs, and I have no interest in ever hearing anything from that band.
Well, I hear you. Listen. They put out what they put out, and then they're good at what they do. They were at the top of their game for a long time.
Yeah.
Then, the untimely death of Steve Clark, and, now they got Vivian Campbell in there, and then he got sick. But, to me, that band, all of their songs to me sounded alike anyway. And
after the first album.
Put out,
after the first album. After the first album. The first album was a good album.
Yeah, from what I remember, it was good. But I'm talking about later on. I'm not even talking about their first album because that was a departure from the Pete Willis days and everything. And when they were playing all those Explorers, remember that? So they kind of had like the weird shaped guitars and everything.
Yeah.
But they were wearing the Union Jack shirts and the shorts.
Yeah.
So they made themselves an English metal band. But once they started getting some commercial success, it's stuff now that when you go to the dentist, you hear this stuff playing in the dentist's office. And it makes you wonder, how did they go from a metal band to this in such a span? Because it happened pretty quick, if you think about it.
Oh, dude, yeah. I'm going to tell you that, put it this way. There's a lot of people, I'll use Giuseppe as an example, who call themselves Def Leppard fans, who had no idea that On Through the Night even existed. I would be curious to know if they even, when was the last time they played something off that album at a concert? Do they even acknowledge that album exists? And I'll be honest with you, coming to America, Rock Brigade, Answer to the Master, it's a great kick-ass album, beside Wasted. Most people who are Def Leppard fans probably don't even know that album exists.
Dude, you're 100% right, dude. And unfortunately, for people that do know that album, they're never going to hear that stuff live anyway. But here's the thing. unless Def Leppard was opening up, or there was a band opening up for Def Leppard that you wanted to see, are you going to go out and buy Def Leppard tickets and go watch a Def Leppard show just to hear
no.
them songs off the
no.
first album?
No, in fact, they're playing, and I want to say they're playing with Tesla and Poison or something like that. And I said I would have to know that they were first or last because I would leave or come after their set because I'm not a fan of Joe Elliott and Phil Collins. I think, Jeff, you hit on the head before. When they lost Pete Willis and Steve Clark, the whole band changed. You know, besides the fact that Joe got his arm cut off.
That was your original – your two original guitar players.
Yeah.
In that band. I mean, Phil Collins has been in that band for so long. It's got to be close to 35 years that guy's in the band.
Easy.
So
yeah,
I mean, you can almost call it original.
Absolutely. I'm going to tell you that I think he was there. I want to say with Pyromania, he was on board already.
I believe so.
So, you're talking about in the early 80s. So, yeah, you're probably talking about 35 years plus. Again, I'm definitely not looking to bash them, but they're just the fact that they still get brought up with the metal bands, I don't get. They're probably the I know you probably have a list of bands. To me, they right there at the top of that list of bands I don't want to hear from. I don't want to see keep going. So I love that. So that's a list we should work on. Top five bands we never want to hear from again, and they would be at the top of my list.
Oh, that'd be another good topic to throw in on the show with one of when we do the cable show with one of our musical guests. That'd
yeah.
be something to get their take on.
Yeah, yeah. But let me ask you, what album are you looking forward to this year? You asked me that question. What are you looking forward to? Would you be looking forward to any band putting out an album at this point?
I'll be honest with you. I don't know who is actually putting out albums. I can only go by what I see on Loudwire or Blabbermouth or Facebook, because really, I don't know where else. I don't go online looking for albums. I go on iTunes to see who's put stuff out, but I don't see anything that catches my eye. But I said earlier, Alice in Chains would be one of the only bands that I would really want to see put out a new album. More like their early stuff, Dirt or Facelift, because their last album was kind of a little syrupy, some ballads. I didn't particularly like it. So I'd like to see somebody, maybe Black Label Society, put out a good heavy album. But there's nobody putting out albums like that anymore. So it's like, where do you find one?
Yeah.
You just got to
hope
that album comes out.
Yeah, check out when you get a chance. I think I might have sent it to you. I'm not sure if I sent it to you. Art of Anarchy with friend of the show Bumblefoot and Scott Stapp from Creed. I listened a little bit. That wasn't bad. I know you're not going to be interested in Louder and Harder and Faster by Warren coming out in May, but there's a lot of stuff coming up and coming out. I'm hoping to get some of these guys to come in and call into the show. But yeah, it's a dying breed. We get stuff. Like friends of ours, Tom Lorenzo and Blood Peace put out a new album, and I know Bobby Gustafson's got Saint coming. Got a new album coming out. So we'll look forward to hearing all of that. But the stuff that falls in between, the Warren and stuff, that's just the Warren. And, I'm looking for the stuff that falls in between Warren and Satan's Taint. That's the stuff I'm kind of looking forward to.
You just brought up that other band with Scott Stapp and Bumblefoot.
Yeah.
And it's like, Scott Stapp, when he was in Creed, they were a rather big band, a well-known popular
sure.
band. Maybe it wasn't the stuff that we wanted to hear, but it was a band. And now, is it that Scott Stapp, his career has tumbled enough that he's playing with Bumblefoot, or is Bumblefoot on the rise to the point where he's playing with Scott Stapp? That's the question I'd like to answer.
I have to tell you, I think Bumblefoot's one of those guys that is obviously high. I mean, his last album was I loved it. It was such a wide range of music, but he's such an amazing guitar player. I have to tell you, I think Bumblefoot's on the rise. I think it's one of those things. If he had actually come out in the 80s or 90s, he would have been a star and a half. I just think that today, guys like us, musician-friendly people, You know, we know about it, but the general public should know more about guys like Bumblefoot. The guy's an amazing musician. I mean, one of the best guitar players you ever want to hear. So,
Shane, in today's day and age with social media and YouTube and how we talk to these guys and they say how sometimes it hurts them, you think that that would be a classic case of how it would help somebody's career and help them get to the forefront so more people would know their name? But yet, I don't know, I can't say that they're not using it, but people just don't seem to be paying attention to it for these guys, and that's a shame.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think that's, you know, we've heard it so many times. I know Michael Sweet said it. There's been a couple of guys who've said it, where there's so many avenues to get your word out there, but there's so much content. People are creating so much content. You know, forget about this, just the bands that we pay attention to, whether we like them or dislike them. There's so many bands and people throwing stuff onto the internet that, you know, I find myself skimming past things just because it's just so much content and you're trying to grab something that just, you know, I think it goes back to the same thing, Jeff, I always say, and maybe you agree. It goes back to the old album covers. The album cover had to grab your attention. Whether it sucked or not was secondary. Whether it was great or not was secondary. But the album cover, when you were flipping through the rack, what made you stop and say, let me check this out? It was the album cover. And I think that's what hurts people nowadays is you're just scrolling up and you see, you know, such a band, Dead Daisies. You know, there's nothing to grab your attention.
Yeah, I agree, dude. You're 100% right. Because how many times we each bought an album and it ended up sucking just because we were like, wow, look at the album cover. You know, the girl's hot. Or that the guy looks cool. He's standing on the side of a mountain trying to kill a dragon with a flying bee. And we're like, I got to buy this.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know who they are. They look retarded, but I got to buy it just because the album cover is cool.
Absolutely.
And you find out that you threw away the last $7 that you'll have for the rest of the month on an album that sucked.
Yeah, but you know, that was part of the adventure. The part of the adventure was I'm going to go out and spend my hard-earned $7 on a record and hope that I come away with, you know, you always wanted to be the guy who discovered that next new band. I mean, you did it with Motley Crue and Our Crowd. I mean, you were the first one to buy a Motley Crue album, and next thing you know, we all became, you know, semi-Motley Crue fans because Shout of the Devil was a good album. You know, and then you go from there, but you never know. And again, that's the problem I think today is you don't have that opportunity. You go right past it because nothing stops your and grabs your attention like a good old album did.
Yeah, I agree, and it's a shame.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're all, you know, think of it this way. Years ago, you used to be able to go to the music store, spend $7 on an album. Okay, and then you used to have to wait to take the album home, and maybe you were lucky it was a good album and you liked the whole album, and you would say to your friends, oh, you got to buy this album, it's a great album. Nowadays, you could take that same $7 and go on your phone, if you have an iPhone, and buy stuff right from Apple, access it within 10 seconds, and have all of those 7 songs downloaded in your phone, ready to listen to on your way to work or your way home. Or whenever that you want to listen to it, it's right there in your phone. Instead of going to the store, buying the album, now I got to wait for my friend to go to this store. Then I got to take the bus ride home. Then I'm going to his house for a little bit. I'm not going to be able to listen to it till tomorrow. You know what I mean? So, like, you'd think that people would have more interest in music today instead of just buying these songs from people that are out. They put out one song and then you never hear from them again. It's a shame.
Yeah,
you know,
and I think
we're missing out on a lot of stuff.
Yeah, you do, and I think you hit it on the head. The thing is, you can go to iTunes, and before you waste that $7, you can preview the whole album and decide whether you want it or not. You know,
I'm talking about previewing an album. If you know of 7 different songs that are out today, regardless of what genre of music they are, you know, you're not buying that whole album from that artist. You could say, okay, I'm going to get a new Metallica song, and then I'm going to get a new AC/DC song. But I also like that Lady Gaga song, so I'm going to take that. And look, Britney Spears has a new song, and I'm going to get that because my wife likes that. I'll put that on the phone for her. And you'll have all these different songs. Instead of years ago, you would buy one album, and you'd be like, okay, I got the whole album from these guys. There's some great songs on this album. We miss out on all of those other songs.
Side B. You miss out on the side Bs, Jeff. That's the problem. You're 100% right. Hard Rock Sports on a snow day, special edition of the Hard Rock Sports Show. Don't fret, guys. We will be back Thursday night at 6:30 with a regular show where we'll be going through all the stuff. This week we got J.J. McGuigan, a singer-songwriter, and also the assistant head coach at Carson Newman College. And I thought J.J. would be a nice guest because we'll get to talk a little NCAA basketball with the Final Four kicking off this week. March Madness, I thought J.J. would be a nice guest. So, and thanks to Michael Stover, the publicist, for getting me some time with that. And then Richard Lynch on the 23rd. Jeff and I spoke to Richard a few months back. A nice man and a big Cincinnati Red fan. So we'll talk a little music and sports with Richard. And also, Mr. Kenny Arnoff will be our guest that night. Who is just a drummer for, you know, John Cougar. You guys been in, I can't even tell you how many bands that guy's played with or in. And, you know, so an amazing drummer. So make sure you check us out on the 23rd. But go to hardrockandsports.com for a list of all the upcoming guests, including Peter Barron, who is the guitar player for Leslie West, Mike Goldberg, a producer for Johnny Winters, and also Marty Appel, who is the author of the new book, Casey, and also was a former Yankee publicist back in the heyday of George Steinbrenner and the craziness. So plenty of stuff coming up on Hard Rock and Sports. We got April 1st at Phoenix Studios, the TV show. Jeff, talk about the benefit, because that's your baby. This one, this benefit's Jeff's baby. I'm along for the ride on this one.
June 17th, Mother Pugs for Paul's Peace. We got several good bands. We've got Acoustic Act, Ming's Dynasty, Rap Duo, Freestyle Fam, 25 Missions, Hard Rock and Sports Band, A-Track, Spike Club, The Math, all friends of ours, all looking to help out and help the Ruffalos out, Peter and Susan Ruffalo from Paul's Piece. We're looking forward to it. We're going to have 50-50 raffles and a lot of cold beer behind the counter.
Yeah, lots of great bands. I mean, a bunch of new bands debuting at one of our events. Obviously, your new classic rock act with 25 Missions and Carl Bolero and Spike Club. Our friends Paul, Jimmy, Joe Drums, who'd be doing a little double duty also with Jimmy. My camarada at A-Track, Aftermath, who I am not as familiar with as Jeff is. So lots of great, and of course the Hard Rock and Sports Band getting ready to crank up.
Yeah, it's going to, listen, a lot of fun. These benefits are always a lot of fun. We always had a couple bands at each benefit that we didn't know much about. And by the time we left, we were like, wow, they were really good. We're glad that we had them. So we're looking for that trend to continue with Spike Club and Aftermath. And more importantly is we want everybody to come out, have a good time, and support the cause and help the Ruffalos out. Last year, we were able to raise up enough money that they were able to start a scholarship fund in their name. So it's cool. It's cool to be able to help out. And, you know, they appreciate us helping. And they do their thing to help out also to promote the event, which makes our lives a little easier. And, you know, they're always a lot of fun. We always have a lot of fun with those events. And then we're going to be Al Albanese is going to be on it at their videoing it for us. So it'll end up being on Staten Island Cable. And that's always a cool thing to spread the word a little bit. And it's just it's a lot of fun. What more could be said, right?
No, there's not more that can be said. And okay. Jimmy Glickio just commented, I guess the show is the signal's gone. It's just me and you talking now, and whoever was listening is still on. But Jimmy wanted to talk a little bit about Def Leppard. I'll tell him. All right, we will bring it back up, Jimmy. We will bring it. Sorry, Jeff. Give me a second, right?
Jimmy's coming on the air.
He was going to call in, and then I only set the show up for an hour.
Okay.
The show up for an hour, so I just I should have just did it for 2 hours just in case we ran over, which we have. I just like I said, I got plenty of stuff to get to today. I didn't want to stay too long. We'll go over a couple more things before we wrap it up. Anyway, so that brings us that takes us to the studio. That takes us to. The big benefit of June 17th, that's right, Jeff's done the yeoman's work. Thanks to all the bands and Hot Rocket Sports and Jeff Altieri and everybody down at Mother Pugs for allowing us to come down and hold the event down there. So we're looking forward to June 17th. I'm really pumped up for April 1st and big lineup of guests. Charlie DBAs from the Staten Island Advent Sports Writing Edition. Bobby Mack, Bobby McKeon, head coach of the St. Peter's JV. The unofficial co-host, Jeff, will be with us. That's right, Mr. Tom Lorenzo from the bassist from the band Blood Feast. The beast himself will be one of our guests. And Jeff Altieri will be popping in and doing a little show with us, the lead singer from Enrage. So we got a great lineup of guests. The whole crew will be there, including the Half Man, as Jeff calls them. So
the Half Man. I love it. It's starting to stick. That's going to be it. You know what? We should do Hard Rock and Sports with the man and a half, and the Half Man. That should be our new slogan, man.
We're going to have to get him out there. I think we're going to have to start. We're going to have to put a sign on him that says Half Man and send him out to do interviews at places and play it on the air. I think that might be something we have to incorporate. He'll be our official.
Jackass used to have Wee Man. Why exactly. Can't we have Half
Man? I'm going to let you broach it with him and let's see. And see if he goes for it. I'm going to let you broach that one, but
see, that's the problem. Why do we have to broach anything with him? Why can't we just say, Dom, listen, you want to be part of this? Half Man. That's all there is to it. You're now the Half Man.
Dom the Half Man. I don't think he's going to like it. I got to be honest with you. I'm running in my head, and while it flows, I got a feeling I don't think he's going to like it.
Why don't you hit that button? You know the one.
I mean, wait a second. Oh, I got to just scroll up a little bit. I was moved out. So you're talking about...
No butt pirates.
There you go.
Yeah, I got a feeling we would have a better chance. Hold on. Let me see if I...
Hold on.
See if, where is it? I think we'd have a better chance of getting him to sing this.
We represent the lollipop
kill.
The lollipop
kill. No butt pirates.
Than doing that on the air. I think we'd have a better chance of that. I'm not sure which one would be funnier, but I think we got a better chance of him singing the first one than being called Half Man.
It doesn't matter because we're going to do what we want anyway.
That's true.
And think that, you know, the Lollipop Kids, this new song that's out, it's going to be out on iTunes soon, folks. So look for it. You know, Dom Ginger's first album, The Plane Pirate. But the best one to me is the butt pirate, because when you hit that button at the right time and he's in the middle of a serious
butt pirate,
just like that, it's like and everything is dead silent for a second. Meanwhile, we're probably crying. I'm home crying when I hear that.
Oh, my God. Yeah, and it's tough for me because I'm trying to have a conversation and I'm trying to click buttons and I can just hear it in his voice. And right in the middle of him, like, his very serious conversation about stats or something, and all of a sudden it drops it, and you just hear it's like somebody dropped the lead weight on his head, and it just
I'll play the role of Dominic, okay? And just so that anybody who's listening for the first time could understand what we're saying, you'll know when to hit the button, Tom. You ready? Shall I start?
Go for it.
All right. Derek Carr has had his sixth 300-yard game this season. He's averaging 3 touchdowns a game.
No butt pirates.
He's averaging 1 interception a game. He's rushing for 35 yards. He's been in Crabtree on the outs. Amari Cooper.
No butt pirates.
And that's exactly what it's like when Dominic is on, man. you just hear that little thing. You just throw it in there once in a while.
That's it. You just drop it in, you shoehorn it right into that spot, and it's just, you know, you can see his face. Like, I can picture his face, and it just comes to a stop, and it's like, there's no smile. It's like, they're interrupting my conversation. I had this all written out. I'm all set. And all of a sudden, it just drops in there, and you can hear Jeff snickering in the background, and I'm trying not to laugh on the air. And then he gathers himself up and doesn't acknowledge it and just continues on. That's the best part. Is that he doesn't acknowledge it.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I agree. It's all hysterically funny, man. When all of a sudden you just hear that for the first, and especially you know, when I'm in the studio with you, and if he calls in or he's there, I see you reach for the button, but I'm sitting here knowing it's going to happen, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you just hear Butt Pirate come across the thing that you can't help but, like, laugh. I can't stop laughing.
No, you can't stop laughing. And that's the fun part of Hot Rod Sports. We don't take ourselves too seriously. We have a few laughs, and we try to come back every Thursday night and just get a little better than last week. And with all the help from our friends, including the Half Man himself and Big Sexy Nick Marino and everybody who's paying attention on Facebook right now, and we try to do a little something every week and have some fun with it. And we're going to wrap this this edition of Hard Rockin' Sports up. I got a lot of work to do. I got some guitar work to do. I got to learn some songs before the first band practice. So I want to get to it now while I got some time. So, Hefe, you want to close up with anything else? You got anything you want to close up with?
Other than we'll see you Thursday, but there's only one other way to close off any show, whether it's a special edition or not. And I believe you know which button you got to hit there.
Stage is that moose, you know.
So when you're playing, you feel like a preserved moose on stage.
Yeah.
Yes, and thank you. And everybody, please stay at home, stay safe, stay warm, stay dry. And come on back Thursday night for another edition of the Hard Rocket Sports Tour at our usual bat time, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, live on Blog Talk Radio, 347-826-993 and 4. Is the call-in number. You can listen in. You can you can actually talk to us if you ever want to. And again, go to the Hard Rocket Sports website, www.hardrocksports.com. Check out all the interviews. I downloaded a bunch of interviews. Everybody can hear. You can check this page for news, band news, all sorts of stuff. The first page has got the list of the upcoming guests. And we got a lot of stuff coming at you Thursday night. J.J. McGuigan. We're going to talk more on the Jets, a little bit on the Giants. We got tons of stuff. I want to talk to Jeff and DJs for Metallica. We got the new albums kicking. I want to get some stuff past Jeff music-wise and sports-wise, and we're going to give you updates on all of it this Thursday night, starting at 6:30 and every Thursday night. But, Hefe, I don't know how else to close it up but to say, brother, thank you for some time. Stay warm, stay dry, enjoy your quiet time, and I'll talk to you off the air.
Well, I do know how to close it out, and that's I'd like to say goodbye for my from the sexy man, the man and a half, and the half man, and we'll talk to you on Thursday night.
Sounds like a great way to end. Thank you, everybody. Thanks for everybody here at Hard Rockin' Sports. Remember, Hard Rockin' Sports, your show with balls. Good night. We'll see everybody on Thursday. Hefe, I'll talk to you off the air, pal.
Later, man.
Later.